Welcome back to the Where Have You Been podcast, aka the WHYB, also known as What the Hell Have You Done, What the Fuck Are You Doing, Where the Actual Fuck Were You Just a Minute Ago, Where in God's Name Are We, What the Fuck Are We Doing Here, Just Kidding. It's the Where Have You Been podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Gage English. And it was a special treat this episode, episode 9. The number of divine completeness. But we only had about 4/5 of the whole De La Feral band, I guess you could call it, there at this time. We were still missing a member, but hey, we just about made it, right? The only person we were missing was Don in this equation, he was on his way. He had to work that night and last night. So it's just me, Taz, the Ranting Raven, and Michael, Saeed, Gerardo. We all sit down on the comfy couches before a nice jam that we give to y'all live, freestyle from yours truly, the De La Feral's. Me on the drums, Rhett and Raven on the bass, fucking Taz and Mike on the guitars. But before we did all that, we got into some discussions as we do as friends at the Where Have You Been podcast. And rest in peace to the homie who passed away due to fentanyl overdose. That's what sparked this whole conversation on the war on drugs, and but the most important topic of last night's conversation was friendship, and how important it is to keep the loved ones close, how important it is to reach out to them, ask them how the fuck they're doing, you know, see if they're fucking doing all right, make sure they're not putting any thing that they don't know what the fuck it is up their nose. You know, you got to be careful when using therapeutic drugs known as like MDMA, and you know, just don't do drugs. If you're gonna do it for a therapeutic benefit, do it smart and know what the fuck you're doing. Test that shit out, because dude, it's sad all the losses of life and friends and loved ones we've had the past years due to these kinds of things. And if we only had a better system set up, you know, we might have better alternative outcomes than overdosing. So although the circumstances were rough, we had a good time last night, and happy to bring y'all a fucking podcast. Hope y'all were having a good week. It's almost the weekend. It's Friday night. Whatever time you're listening to this, every day is a chance to say yay or hey to someone. I don't know what the fuck I'm talking about. The point is, keep your fucking friends close. Love thy neighbor. Here's the fucking podcast. I'm gonna shut the fuck up. Y'all have a wonderful day, wherever the fuck you are. And I hope this podcast can bring some light to whoever needs it, whatever your situation is, whatever the circumstances you're going through are. Just know, you know, you're not the only one. What you're feeling is what the world is feeling, and we're all going through it together. We're all just walking each other home, and we all die eventually. You know, it's just a part of life, and it's a beautiful thing to get the opportunity to live life as a human being. So don't take it for granted. And yeah, I'm gonna shut the fuck up now and send y'all into the podcast. Welcome to another episode of the Where Have You Been podcast. It's your host, Gage, and I got Rhett and Raven and the Tasmanian Devil. Tazarchy. Yeah.
Gay GB, get your name right.
It's the Gay GB.
So today's topic, talking about friendship.
Talking about friendship.
The triumphs, the losses, all of it. Go ahead, Gage.
I thought you were about to get into it.
You're the main interviewer.
Okay, you brought up the topic of friendship, alright.
Damn right, dude.
Yeah, we got good friends.
Remember the first time we became friends? Do you remember when? Do you remember what it was?
No.
I do. You came and picked me up in a beat up fucking car, me and Chris Elkins, and we went and saw Dilated Peoples, Atmosphere, and Snoop Dogg.
Oh, damn.
I don't feel like that was the first time. I thought we knew each other before that and then went.
Well, we knew each other kind of, but that's where we really became friends. And that's we went to Kyle's house. Or,
Kyle, the glassblower dude?
Who's your homie that gets really fucked up that's not Joey?
I don't know. I don't keep in touch with, like, too many people from back then.
He's got long hair. All right.
Jamie?
Nope. It doesn't matter. But that's really when we clicked. And then after that, man, like, we hung out fucking all the time. And then we really got...
Oh, LaKyle.
LaKyle!
Yeah.
That's who it was.
We got a name drop. People get fucked up.
Dude, you know, I've been fucked up before. That's what being friends is about.
Yeah. I got so fucked up once, I peed on my friend's guitar.
Dude, I once got so fucked up that I woke up in the middle of the night and peed on my friend and went back to bed.
That's kind of
what I did. He hit me with a stick and I didn't even wake up.
It was with his $2,800 guitar, dude.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I threw Clark out once because he tried to pee on one of my amps. Like, I threw him outside with his pants down. Dude, that was so funny. And then he continued, like, I was like, dude, what are you doing? And then he, like, proceeded to pee all over the kitchen. That's why I threw him outside.
Yeah, I always crack jokes at my buddy Eddie after I pissed on his guitar. Because I call it his pee-tar. Now.
Like, dude, this guitar smells like piss. Yeah, I had another friend pass away today. Ben, because of fentanyl. They think that it was because he snorted powder that was laced with fentanyl. So all you out there doing coke or meth or even MDMA. Know your fucking supplier.
Yeah. Know your or fucking don't, supplier. Don't fucking, yeah, or just don't fucking do it.
Yeah, dude. Really. Like, either way,
it's bad route. Like, whether it's...
Well, I don't know, man, because, like, it does have its therapeutics if you get real MDMA. You
know? Oh, MDMA, I thought we were talking about fucking heroin or something.
No, like, all of it, man. Nothing of itself is good or evil. Only the manner of its use makes it so. And in this case, if you don't know your dose, if you don't know what you're getting, it's dangerous, man. Mm-hmm. That's why the war on drugs claims more lives, you know, than fucking just people that are arrested. Because they don't make it regulated. They don't make it an open source thing that's provided by people who fucking know how to make it. Instead, they leave it up to be underground, and it takes more victims... You know, then it fucking saves, dude. And that's what happened to Bobbins, dude. Bobbins OD'd, and instead of people taking him to the hospital, they were afraid of getting reprimanded, so they dropped him off at his home. And I don't blame them. I blame the drug war.
What do you think will be a more positive influence for the community rather than a war on drugs as far as dealing with those consequential things that certain drugs lead to?
Well, I think that human beings have been taking drugs since the dawn of time, man. We take so many different types of things to alter our system.
There's drug abuse, and you have to be careful with
substances you're using for the right reasons. Like, so the recent studies of MDMA for PTSD, right? Two things that they affect. They affect the amygdala, which is your smoke alarm for fear responses. It's like when stress goes off, right? So your PTSD is always affecting your amygdala. And your stress hormones are up through the fucking roof. And so in a lot of ways, people will go to things outside of like Xanax or things to really alter that, such as psilocybin mushrooms. MDMA has been proven in trials to really help. You know, like what they do is they do like 18 months, right? And in that 18 months is three different sessions. Three. Only three in 18 months where they use pure MDMA and they do talk therapy and they take you through your PTSD. And in 68% of it basically eradicates any type of PTSD. You know, and because it's calming the amygdala, which is your fight or flight response, and it's allowing open conversation in a vulnerable state. And a lot of men particularly deal with suicidal tendencies, overstressing. We do go to war. We're fucking basically collateral damage. We're expendable.
Yeah.
And there's not, you know, like, there's not a whole lot of programs that even teach kids growing up how to deal with stressful environments, how to deal with those aspects. And so, like, while you're growing up with that, you know, you live in a strict home, you live in a society that isn't conducive to the actual evolution of human nature, you know, and these types of aspects you seek out outside of, you know, fucking ADHD medicine, Klonopin, those types of things, because you're really looking for something to shut off the alarm and something to make you vulnerable. And in a lot of these studies, you know, like psilocybin for depression and MDMA, you know, these types of vulnerable aspect psychedelics, which have been around since the dawn of time, have been demonized since Nixon's fucking war on drugs.
Yeah.
And it's caused dementia in society to think that any drug that could be abused is evil. Yeah. And that's not the case.
I see that firsthand. Like, my grandpa's sort of going through like some dementia phases where he feels like he's forgetting things and seeing doctors about it and stuff, but like, I don't know, sometimes I wonder if like his view is askewed from drugs. Like, he didn't seem like a person who would just go try psilocybin mushrooms.
Well, I know, but like it's fear-based. Like, my mother...
Yeah, that's what
my mother
thinking,
was
though.
Military and doesn't smoke, and in the last 5 years has started taking edible marijuana. Something that she used to fucking regularly crucify me on. Mm. And now she's looking back regressively being like, man, if only I had taken these... And she's broken her back. She's been burned, like literally burned, like 80% of her fucking body is burned. She's had to have skin grafts. She's been emotionally abused by my dad, who's deceased, my stepfather, and even me in circumstances as a youth, you know, who was hyperdosed on fucking on Adderall, which totally caused irregular emotions.
Right.
I found more solace in taking high dose mushroom trips at 14 than I did in anything. And I read my books, man. I read Richard Strassman and the DMT Spiritual Molecule when I was 14. I read the LSD experiments of artists and emotional content. I read about the psychoactive attributes before these types of particular studies became valid again. And it was only after the 1950s that they really waged the war on drugs. And MDMA, before it was ever even considered an abusive drug, was utilized in clinical studies for relationship therapy, for PTSD,
in all of these types of things. And now they're going back to it because, you know, us as youth, millennials, which are, you know, born 81 through 94, you know, like now we're coming of age, but we're still dealing with the archaic residue of the war on drugs. And yeah. These things have been instigated because of private prisons, cheap labor. You know, all of these things make a market. Like, if you're only caging fucking criminals that are violent, you know, and maybe even they could utilize it, dude. Think of all the gangbangers with one fucking mushroom trip that realize they're fucking everything, and that everything is a part of them. You think they're, like, gonna be equally, like, holy fuck? And even in MK Ultra, think of all of the psychopaths, the U-bomber, Charles Manson, that were part of MK Ultra, that was a program utilized to try to break the mind and psyche of people utilizing psychedelics under extreme interrogation, purely out of the purpose of breaking them. And these are people who come from totally hoarded backgrounds.
Yeah,
and then they utilize that, and then they demonize it because they say, hey, this didn't go right. Well, you're the government manufacturer, fucker, who broke these people using psychotropics in the most negative, dark side way that you fucking could. You know, and so while looking at all of these aspects, you know, like, the entire, what is it? It was the, it was like the British trade route, man, between China, India, and Britain. And opium was the major fucking product. Opium was the major thing that they traded. Opium has always been allowed with soldiers and everything like that because they want numbness. That can be fucking totally allowed. You know? It was,
so we get
it was called the Opium
for
Wars, dude. It was in 1856, dude.
Alcohol.
Like, that's like Vietnam. Look at the war in Iraq. When we went into Iraq, opium production went up 94% once we invaded that place. Once we invaded Iraq, that's 90% opium. And people freak out about the opium pandemic. But they don't, you know, like, now we're coming across aspects of psychedelics, psychotropics, as a way to emotionally regulate because it fucking causes an internal view of your emotional responses. And that's dangerous for systems because systems enact out of fear. And that's the same thing that killed my fucking friend because they demonize these aspects and they crucify them instead of causing rehabilitation programs. Free clean needle clinics, like many countries have done. You know, like Oregon's just hopping on this bandwagon. People die over this, and they don't die just because of fucking cartels. They die because they don't get the medical assistance out of fear of repercussions for utilizing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that is more dangerous to me, sociologically speaking. And it's also mentally damaging. Because, like, the more and more people go into the technological renaissance, and the more they become disconnected with critical thinking and humanity, and they don't utilize these drugs properly. I you know, like, there used to be shamans. Shamanism in itself, I don't necessarily believe in. I don't dig gurus. I don't dig priests. But in society right now, if you want to have a crazy existential experience, either you got to go to another country or you got to go to a rave, like EDM, you know, and all of these places don't regulate drugs properly. They don't know what the fuck they're talking about, and it's the only avenue that you can go. And so as a youth trying to seek out internal introspection and curiosity, you are forced to go to these fucking places where there's pseudo-enlightenment, pseudo care, and these people who basically have the ability of doing what MK Ultra does, and they can warp your mind. They can provide false idols, and that's dangerous to me. You know, I love buying mushrooms off my local homie and fucking taking them when I feel like they're necessary throughout the year. And giving them to my homies when we want to go on a fucking trip together in the woods or around the street. Or hang out in an open, vulnerable space where it's okay to act like an idiot or pass out or blah blah, and nobody's gonna fuck with you. But instead, all these kids, youth, what I would call kids now, 20-year-olds, 18-year-olds, being introduced into this environment that, like, manufactures them to be even dumber, more disconnected from themselves, and more sucked into the culture that is only allowing this availability. You know, if human beings had the availability of doing this through therapy or their own time, then they would have the ability of changing a lot of stuff.
And we're back, and we're joined with Michael.
Hey. What's up, guys? What's up, podcast listeners?
Some motherfucking...
Get my funny bone.
We got a crew here now.
This is the magical gangster.
Do you like a lighter, Michael?
I love a lighter. Thank
magical
you.
Gangster of love.
Yeah, that's the band name that we scrapped.
Magical Gangsters of Thug.
MGT.
Nah, but, you know, like, I did get carried away there a little bit, you know, as far as friendship. But I'm really upset that a lot of the people that I've lost are because of certain attributes of society. But I love you all regardless, man, and... You know, like, women come and go, and there are aspects, you know, where people grow out of one another, but I was never really bonded to my family.
Yeah.
I had you guys and my friends that really got me through stuff that I could be vulnerable in. And I'm honestly terrified of losing you, Gage.
You always got me, bro. I'm always gonna be here, bro. As long as I'm stomping on
terra firma.
These, yeah.
We're never gonna lose Gage. Gage is with us in spirit.
Yeah, I'm more scattered than Monsanto fertilizer.
He's one of those Monsanto GMO dudes. Spreading the Monsanto fertilizer. On the way to Oregon.
But it's made of love.
I love fertilizer. I love Taz too, man. You know what's really weird is, like, when I first met Taz, like, we're both pretty liberal minded. Now he's like fucking V-pub is fucking married a religious woman.
Like, he's going Mormon on us.
Like, it's so weird, but he's still like...
He's gotten, like, extremely good at guitar, like, over a short period of time.
Nah, he's always been good.
He plays reggae like no other, man. He knows how to play ska, reggae, rocksteady, anything of that vein.
I just love...
I'm
going to
miss my fucking jamming homies, dude.
Sometimes I wonder, dude, like, given that he has a family...
Bring you guys out to Oregon jam with some jamming homies.
Why you fucking come... Because there's so many people who wouldn't do it. Like, we always, show up.
You gotta get away sometimes.
Yeah, Taz is the one dude I can, like, guarantee, like, I'm probably gonna see on jam night every night. I feel like...
Yeah.
I don't think I ever miss jam night.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Yeah. Well, except for when he goes camping with the family.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, I'm going camping this weekend.
I wish that we were more, like, I love that we jam, but it would be cool if we could trade tracks and, like, kind of like Dave's been hitting me up, like, yo... He sent me a recording.
Oh, I know,
up
yeah.
In Moab. He's like, can you record on this? I'm like, yeah, I haven't even listened to it yet. But I feel like you would be good for that. Like, you could lay shit down on the Strat.
Well, if we had, like,
I'd like to record
your equipment. Yeah, like, I would too, man, if we could set it up that way.
I'll put my Mac over here.
Oh, yeah.
We would need a computer.
All we need is a fucking Scarlett or some audio interface.
Yeah.
That's all we fucking need.
And then we plug it all in.
And if we wanted to... record everything, plug them all into that mixer, into the Scarlett, and we have a whole band thing.
Sometimes Dave makes some, like, really cheeky shit.
It is. I'm scared to open it.
I've been listening to, like, 4 or 5 tracks. It's just like...
I love what Don does.
Don, he uses too many effects, though. He's
I really honestly love it. Like, he reminds me of borderline explosions in the sky and Radiohead.
He's got
sounds the same.
Yeah,
he's got his style, and I'm gonna give him that. He's got his style, but I like it.
But I like that style.
I just wish there was more.
It's really good, dude, and I actually do love it.
I mean, I have my own style. I sound really rough and rabid.
Yeah.
I could do jazz, but.
Well, as a vocalist, you could do pretty much everything. I just want us to all be that versatile, because it just makes the jam that much more fun when you can go through every genre and name.
There's a couple songs I've wanted to cover, man. There's one by Chris Cornell, one by Bob Dylan.
What's the Chris song? The Stone song?
No, it's, Like a Stone.
Yeah, I can't sing it. Cause
I can't.
He's gonna sue it. No, I'm just kidding. He's not alive.
He's dead. He's dead. But I would want to do that one. I want to do Boots of Spanish Leather by Bob Dylan.
If any of our listeners feel like they have a good cover song for us to do, fucking send them in.
Yeah, that's true.
Send them
we'll
in.
We'll try to cover anything. I
we'll
love,
do a live performance on the podcast
I
just
love
for
what
you.
We do with any type of. Sublime songs. I love what we do with that.
Yeah.
I want to do a couple.
Yeah,
Zap
we'll mail it for you. Fucking, we got the musicians to do it.
Like cover
it'd be cool if we tried
technology.
I loved what we did with that Black Sabbath song.
Cool with what?
Yeah, it'd be cool if we nailed Black Dog, or even if we fuck it up, you would go wild on that. The bass line's wild.
Yeah, dude. Black Dog.
On guitar.
Is that the way you move? Gonna make you shine. Gonna make you groove. Yeah, dude.
Or even that Glenn Danzig fucking song, Mother.
Oh, dude, Mother? That would be great.
We already have a good set list. We just got
Mother!
Dude, we should take some, like, good songs and, like, recreate them our own way.
Too. Exactly. But
either way, if we cover it, it's going to be our
own
shit. That's
kind of like what we did with the Pixie songs.
Yeah.
Sound like
dude,
us.
That was sick.
Do you a couple like that?
And I think Mike...
I was trying to
remember.
I don't
how
even know
it
the Pixies.
I don't know if I did it right.
Yeah, you thought it was a made up song.
Yeah, I guess I enjoyed it until I found out it was already a song.
I think it was my the little lead that I had going.
Or
I also love Modest Mouse.
Some Rage Against the Machine. We'd nail that. Either
dude,
of us can sing
that
it.
That would be sick.
The funkiness, because I want us to play more funk.
Because
when that drummer came over the other day, and him and I were playing funk, bass, and drums. We were nailing it, moving through every fucking sound we could have, and yeah, we can do that without having
it. Would also, what's that CKY song? 99.
Oh, 96 Quiet Bitter Beans.
Yeah, dude,
that
would be
a
sick song.
Cool song.
Oh, dude, I've always wanted to cover some CKY with you guys.
Yeah, dude.
CKY's the shit.
You know, so
Familiar
like,
Realms, we could do that one.
Like covers would be a lot of fun, you know. At least to like get into, getting into dynamics, because that's one thing about that drummer that I fucking loved, is like his ability to go loud and quiet.
Tate.
Yeah, Tate.
Dude,
Tate.
He's dynamics, but having people like that who are consistently here is hard because they're so busy. I haven't even heard back from them.
I know,
so, but
we still have a snare.
We still have a snare.
Oh, shit.
But we can all do that. You play drums well.
I'm not very good.
No, you are closer than you think. You're one of the few people here that when I try to play reggae, you actually nail the drums.
Really?
You don't even know how to play reggae drums. But you know you nail the feel, though. Without playing it properly, it still sounds like it flows. And it's very impressive. So I appreciate it. You're a good drummer, dude.
I do not consider myself a drummer.
I don't know if you guys know this, but Gage over here...
I love
fucking drummer.
Gage is
a drummer. Motherfucking drummer.
Gage is a drummer.
Yeah, even 100%. Javier's learning the drums pretty well.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, but like 100%, Gage is a drummer, dude.
And Taz, every weekend. No, I'm just kidding. I've never heard you play drums.
I don't play the drums.
I mean, I play the drums, but I just play them loud. Everyone seems to complain.
That's not true. You play some killer drums, bro.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I learned a lot from you just on drums, dude.
Yeah, me too, man. Like, I watch how you do it. I learned a lot. So, watching Don stray away from using snare, like, and utilizing all the other drums is, like, what made me kind of branch out. So like the other day I was playing When the Levee Breaks.
Oh yeah.
I was listening to it and there's like not much snare in it.
It's like
yeah. And I was just going along with it, dude. And I was just playing through a lot of Zeppelin and listening to Bonham. And
in my opinion, if we're going to do Zeppelin, we might as well start with, like, Communication Breakdown. Just because that's, like, their first song where they kind of nailed that almost metal sound. Just going ham in the rock.
Communication Breakdown. It's all right, I'm saying.
Did you listen to the recordings of last night?
No, I haven't had a chance.
Oh, yeah.
That one song, yeah. You Must Be Crazy or something like that. I love the lyrics of that.
What the fuck was that? When did we play that?
We played it last night.
That was the last song.
Yeah. I was like, whenever I go out, man, you act crazy.
Was that a freestyle or?
Yeah, I just made
it. Oh, okay. I was like, you already got titles on these freestyle songs.
No, that's what we need.
That's what we need.
How many freestyle songs have we done since I moved back to Utah and came out of this gym?
Countless, dude.
Yeah, dude.
100? 200 or 300?
Probably. Like, we play for 5 hours every time we play, basically. Yeah. And I make up everything, pretty much. Like,
we make up everything.
It's like, I just go off you guys.
Yeah, we all go off each other, and I think it sounds great.
I do too. It's honestly my favorite music. Like, it's a mix of all the things that I really love, and I think it's dying as far as, like, an art form to be able to do that. Like, tons of people rehearse all the fucking time just to, like, nail shit, but it's very rare that you can get, like almost a Grateful Dead-esque aspect where you have like we have a mode that we go by, but like honestly if we were all tripping balls we could just fucking play
it's even
whatever
better.
We wanted.
And that's why I keep pushing us to just fucking play shows, because like even if we do covers and then just jam, the audience might be really surprised at what they hear in the jam, and we're gonna get lined up to keep playing, because we know that when we play solo gigs like ours it's fucking fire. We already know that. But it's not as fun as having the improvisational aspect with your fucking homies.
Yeah. Sure.
We just haven't taken that risk of getting the gig yet with our homies, because I don't know why.
For damn sure.
Yeah, I don't honestly know why we don't do gigs. Obviously it's because, like, whoa, we don't have any material. But that's kind of bullshit, because we play for 5 hours.
We already got a band name, De La Ferro.
Yeah, De La Ferro. You know, of the Feral.
We went. This is our third band name. It was Coyote in the Moon, then Magical Gangster Love.
Yeah, I love. Like, I've always wanted to have the band that I like as De La Feral, because you guys are all wild motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And De La Feral means of the wild.
It characterizes our music better than any other name we've ever considered. The lobster ideas were funny, but
yeah, they were just jokes.
In the 60s, you know,
lobsters of Titan.
what are the other names? Fucking, I don't remember. It's good though. But yeah, you wanna?
There's like the Fool.
Do you guys want to maybe do a jam for the podcast or something?
We could.
Yeah, the Fool was cool.
The Fool, maybe I'll hop on that kit. We already got a bass.
Yeah, that's a good way to leave. End with a good outro.
Hey, we could come back in, have more conversation. I mean, people. You know,
one thing I want to say before everybody leaves, man. Everybody's on their way out. You know,
we're all dying.
Love
while
you can.
You're dying the moment you're born.
Love your people, because you're not gonna have them forever. And stay true to your fucking selves. And do it all at the same time.
And forgive when you can. Because holding on to hatreds and angers, man, just is a waste of energy.
And don't snap when you're mad. I was about to yell at like 6 people today. And I did. I yelled at half of them.
Life should just be an opportunity to laugh with your homies and have good times.
And yeah, live music, in the way that we've known it since the 60s and 50s, it might be changing in the next couple of years. So that's why it's really cool that we have this relic. It's like a new relic. Because you're right, we do have a Grateful Dead-esque jam that sounds nothing like the Grateful Dead at times,
yeah.
But still is in that spirit.
Yeah, for sure.
And the crowd is going to fucking love it like they love the Grateful Dead.
It's called Soul, dude.
It's called Soul? We play soul music, whatever the fuck that means.
We play soul music. Amen.
Amen.
And with that, my listeners, we're gonna jump right into a motherfucking live freestyle jam with the motherfucking De La Ferrell.
So who's playing bass?
Thank you. Mm-hmm.